If you're not driving right now, and you can do this, close your eyes. Go ahead. I'd like you to remember something, and what I'd like you to think about is your best customer service experience. Where did it take place? Can you see it? Who was there with you? What were you trying to do? Can you remember it clearly? What did the people do who helped you meet your needs? Do you remember that clearly? How did those people make you feel? All right, open your eyes. Look at the business in front of you, all around you at your place of work. Are your eyes still open? Look at your last customer or client and think about whether you were able to meet the need they came to you for. What did you and your team do to help them meet that need? How did you and your team make your client feel? And when was the last time they returned for your support? Are your eyes still open? Are you still looking? Well, welcome to Steps to Value. This is a podcast that explores the intersection of people, processes, and technology in healthcare as the sector moves towards a value-focused model. I'm your host, Rod Pihowski. And in the first of a two-part series, we'll explore the impact that client-focused officers in the C-suite are having on today's healthcare industry. In today's episode, we'll hear the first half of a discussion from HIM17 with Scott Bostick, former Chief Client Officer and current Chief Operating Officer of NextGen Healthcare. Scott and HIM's user experience subject matter expert Adam Baser discuss how the company transformed their organization's client relationship to help them better navigate in a value-based care paradigm. Then in part two of the series, we'll hear the second half of that conversation and learn from Jackie Darcy, a client experience leader at NextGen, what their client's experience looks like in real time. We'll also gain some insights from Karina Edwards, Senior Vice President, Customer Experience at Improvata. Karina and Adam's HIM17 discussion follows on how greater advocacy internally for customers drove client satisfaction, revenue growth, and helped Improvata meet their bottom line goals. We're here at Steps to Value, and we're at your service. How can we help you today? All this and more coming up.
Scott Bostick is Chief Client Officer and Jackie Darcy is Client Experience Leader at NextGen Healthcare. Scott, Jackie, thank you for joining us today.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Adam.
So, Scott, what is a Chief Client Officer?
Well, Adam, what I do is in my name. As a Chief Client Officer, it's my responsibility to lead the organization for all of NextGen with the commitment of serving the client first. And I would say that foundationally, it's a belief that if our customer is successful, we're successful. And with that, you know, it really led us to a mantra of this whole idea of a client-centric journey to earn a client for life. Now, that's a noble goal, to earn a client for life, but I think foundationally, it's a cultural shift for us as an organization. I call it an identity shift. And so when I say identity shift in this whole earning a client for life, it's really foundationally having an experience with NextGen Healthcare. That's one that's built on trust, the client advocacy, and thinking about the client's point of view from that particular perspective. It's that foundation of culture that everybody in the organization is committed to the client. And then ultimately, when you do get feedback from the client, that you've got a commitment and organizational capability for continuous improvement. Those areas that can be improved is that where we are as an organization. So the Chief Client Officer in our organization is a new role. And why is it a new role? Well, a year ago, within the business, there were different business units and different functions. And sometimes the never two should cross paths and or talk with one another. So if you think about that, gaps in coordination and gaps in communication and not knowing what one hand or the other is doing have kind of been an artifact of, you know, when you're not been a client-centric culture, because you would have really focused on the business, internal focused, versus other focus. And so that's really when I say about the journey. So we've really aligned our organization for the first time around the client. So everything that touches the client is now under one team. So think of not just sales. There's some people have a chief revenue officer. Well, if you're a chief revenue officer, I know what your motive is. But as a chief client officer, I want to bring everybody in the organization, because remember, if the client's successful, we're successful. So think of sales, marketing, technical services, professional services under one roof. But we've taken a step further. We've actually integrated the function of the voice of the client or client advocacy leader that she's giving us feedback. And we've also married that with an operational excellence lead. So we think about it holistically from the client's perspective. And whether it's pre-sale to post-sale, is that we want to have this client 360 point of view. And foundationally, it's built on the people, which I talked about, the structure and organizational design, now bringing them under one roof. Business processes that may or may not be functioning today as well as they could, and re-engineering that with things like Lean and Six Sigma business processes. And how do you scale that across, you know, hundreds and thousands of clients, is building it on a platform, if you will, for kind of a CRM platform that we now have a client 360 point of view. So we think about the client from when they started the journey with NextGen to where they are in the journey with NextGen and what's next, is that the entire organization aligns to their strategy, we understand the business process we need to improve, and we want to make sure we're successful. And does everybody in the organization align to the strategy? The answer is yeah. Because another important part of not just the role, but the organization, is that every employee within NextGen, whether it's a research or development or any function we have, even finance, if you will, they have a large percentage of their bonus, their management incentive plan, or an all-employee plan, is tied to improving client satisfaction.
Wow.
So when you get that type of message down, you're really starting to reinforce the behaviors, and now you're talking about culture. Because change management is really what this is about what's in it for me and where he sits, where he stands usually. If I'm the doctor on the other side, where I sit, where I stand is my usage of the software and the technology. And if I'm an employee that's developing products, is that I want to have a great product that yields for our software with high quality and high usability. But then again, how do you bring that all together? Because that's really the key, driving the right culture, aligning your organization, and then, you know, focusing in on just the fundamentals. So that's my role as Chief Client Officer. And you know, it's an officer role. So it's at the board level. We're talking about it at the executive leadership team and at town halls and at the board. And that's a big identity shift for the organization, because we're working hard to earn the right for a client for life.
I love what you're talking about in terms of the culture shift and the organizational redesign and the change management pieces that come out of that. Can you speak to, for those that are going through the same experience, what are some of the, how would you speak to this towards the board? How would the conversation change when you're talking to the internal staff? What would be lessons that you would want to impart to others that are moving forward on this journey?
You know, when you think about change management, and change is very difficult. You know, people say they like change until they're the ones that have to change.
Sure.
Number one, where your investments and your reinforcement of compensation will certainly drive, you know, the dialogue as far as where I move money to be able to solve the problems we're talking about. So what changes at the board? Well, it's actually using the third party, we'll talk about this a little bit later, but third party information of what's working, what's not working, as a real feedback mechanism loop, a closed loop mechanism back to what investments we've made in the past and what impact they've really had. So follow the money. Two, what organization capabilities do you not have today? Because that is an incredibly important nuance. So if you're going down this path as far as what's my current state today? Am I low to no growth? Do I have a high attrition rate? And the clients that I have, are they satisfied? And what do I need to do next to continue down this journey? And if you're not putting compensation aligned with this to drive the right cultural behavior, if you find yourself with, I have skill sets that are not going to get me to the next level, then I need to balance the old with the new skill sets and bring in new skill sets and drive that through this change curve organizationally. And for us, I would say that, you know, one of the secret weapons is using a black belt that has business process reengineering in their DNA that can be a positive catalyst for change, because they're the third party. They're the third party. It's not R&D versus finance or sales versus marketing, if you will. It's really saying, look, there's a better way for us to do it, and there's waste in the system, which is causing dissatisfaction with our client. Nobody wants that, so let's change. And if we can change ourselves, then we can control our destiny. So compensation, capabilities, should inform your organizational design, and then you need to put your money where your mouth is on that. And that really drives a lot of what I would say is hard to do it over again, continue to reinforce down those paths.
So let's go ahead and talk about what a desired outcome looks like from a chief client officer perspective.
Well, ultimately, you know, we want to delight our clients and, you know, for their success. If they're successful, we're successful. So that looks like growth for our client. And they look to us as a trusted advisor because we want to put their interests before ours. And that's really difficult to earn, and it's based on trust. And so it kind of goes back to, I want to earn a client for life. So ultimately, it's their success and them coming to us first. And strategically, that would mean we're not only vendor of choice to the vendor path, but we're employer of choice. People want to work in the environment where they can drive positive change. And what it will manifest itself from a client perspective is that it's proactive in this identity shift. That means proactive versus reactive, or two steps ahead of the game. And if we don't have the capability, because no company has a monopoly on great ideas and technology, especially when you look at HIMSS, there are a lot of new capabilities. The question becomes, which one fits the need strategically for the client? And then being honest with them as far as how you can work with them to build, either internally to the offering or as partnership. And then, you know, if you look at what the outcome is for the company, if they're going down this path, is it something I want to pursue? Well, think about this. If you have happier clients, you have happier retention rate. So it's less churn and less sales effort. You know, it's 5-to-1 ratio. For every new client you get, it takes 5 times the effort for one, you know, to keep that client. Clients don't want to, nobody wants to change, because change is difficult, and I'm either running away from a problem or towards a goal. There's only two reasons why I change. So if I can help them grow, then I can be a catalyst for positive change. Our clients are happier, which means our employees are happier, and it just creates a really great culture of which it's contagious. And the ultimate for all this is referral. And it's bragging when we talk about it, but it's proof when your clients give you references to say, go talk to Adam, because that kind of business issue is complex. He has a point of view, I think, that may be logical to solve that business issue.
We've talked around this in, from NextGen standpoint. In terms of where the industry is and healthcare environment in this age, why is a chief client officer so important?
The rise of consumerism is sobering, especially in healthcare. As patients and consumers of healthcare, our premiums are going up, our out-of-pocket expenses are going up. Sometimes we're narrowed in networks, sometimes we have free choice. And the question becomes, who do you choose? And the truth is that satisfaction in an experienced economy, satisfaction absolutely matters. Not only does it matter for your market reputation, for you to be, you know, the practice of choice or hospital health system of choice or vendor of choice, but for our providers, they have reimbursement at risk. So now they're getting feedback, whether they like it or not, which is affecting their reimbursement. So parking was never really a big issue. When just the basics you think about, which you think completely trivial, doesn't really affect the quality of the surgical procedure I had. But the truth is, when consumerism becomes a core part of the DNA of healthcare in the United States, it definitely matters. And just think about how we search for new capabilities. Everybody goes online. Everybody looks at Yelp. Now you get health grades. And so the question becomes, if you think about the implications of that from a service perspective, who's the one shepherding this coordination across the enterprise? And now let's think about bad service. Let me read you a few stats. So there's 1 million people view tweets about customer service. Guess what? 80% of those tweets are negative or critical service. 80%. If you think about, you know, positive experience versus negative experiences, it takes 12 positive experiences to basically wipe out that one unresolved.
Wow.
And then lastly, if you think about this, for every one patient who complains, there are 28 others who remain silent. 28 others. So that's the tip of the iceberg, where it's like, wait, I think there's an issue there, or smoke coming out of the camp as far as fire. It's real.
Yeah.
And it is shaping how we buy. It's shaping how we decide. And right, wrong, or indifferent, it makes a difference. Does it make a difference for other industries? Well, just look at Amazon. Look at Zappos. How about Starbucks? Their experience is very tailored and prescriptive, and they always use this continuous feedback loop on how can they continue to differentiate. It's more profitable. Everybody will pay more for better service, and it clearly will differentiate. So I ask you, if you've got a market that's rising, there's consumerism, market's real, there are no secrets because of Yelp and HealthGrade, et cetera, and transparency, which is what I'm talking about, is really becoming the norm, both on cost and quality and the like, then how could you not afford to have somebody to think about the holistic approach to the client's experience, whether the client's the patient or the doctor or whoever that the case may be? Who is the one waking up thinking about the total experience?
HIMSS corporate membership provides an avenue for healthcare vendors and consulting firms to collaborate and share knowledge with industry stakeholders and provider members. With 4 investment levels to choose from, offering benefits from marketing advantages at the HIMSS annual conference and exhibition to focus group and research opportunities, there's a membership that's right for your company. Learn more at hims.org/membership.
Hi, my name is John Daniels, Global Vice President for HIMSS Analytics. I bring value to HIMSS members by helping hospitals and clinics in their journey towards Stage 7 of the HIMSS Analytics Health IT Roadmaps. And you're listening to Steps to Value.
In a previous episode, Steps to Value spoke with Bryn Lewis and Lisa Nelson on the importance of the clinical narrative. Listener Jeff Liddell, clinical social worker and consultant with Harmony Health IT, shared with us his own perspective on the clinical narrative.
Hello, this is Jeff Liddell from Harmony Healthcare IT. We believe the strength of the clinical narrative depends on having legacy data available to provide a more complete understanding of the patient's story. Legacy data contains information with potential insights into the patient's medical history that may not be captured in the go-forward EMR. A link to the legacy personal health information is important for a more comprehensive clinical narrative. The patient's story provides context for medical decision-making. This context is important for understanding the patient's life, which includes such things as their cognitive abilities, their emotional state, cultural background, spiritual beliefs, economic situation, their access to care, their social supports, their attitudes towards their illness, and relationship with healthcare providers.
How is your organization working to align itself to better meet the needs of your customers and clients? Send us your thoughts as a voice memo or email, and perhaps we'll play it on the air at the end of our next episode. You can send your comments to value@hims.org. We'd like to thank our guest, Scott Bostick, former Chief Client Officer and current Chief Operating Officer of NextGen Healthcare, for sharing his insights on the value that client-focused leadership and operations drives for an enterprise. For more information on everything discussed by today's guest, please visit this episode's landing page in the HIMSS Health IT Value Suite. Steps to Value is a HIMSS North America production. The series is co-produced by Adam Baser. Kelly Lippitt is story editor and guest relations manager. I'm Rod Pihowski. See you next time on Steps to Value.